Thanks. Oh boy. See a lot of familiar faces out there tonight. A lot of friends, family. Thank you for coming to see this. This has been my story so far. You know, I was listening to Pastor Chuck on the radio the other day, and he was quoting the verse that says, we live our life like a story that's already been told. And you ever see your life flash before you? I just did. And I was telling this story after I wrote my book, Lost Boy, and we made this little film. And I've traveled around in different churches, sharing this story, telling people that it's a story of redemption. And no matter what they're going through, that God can intervene and change their lives. And it was going beautifully. And we were seeing people come to Christ. And of course, in this unexpected tragedy, without question, the worst tragedy I've ever faced, worse than any pain I had up to this point, 100 times or so, if that's not even describing it. And so now, am I still going to live by faith? Do I still believe in this message? Yes, I do. Is it hard going through something like that? Yes, it is. Is God still faithful to his promises? Yes, he is. Is our faith real? Absolutely. And so I feel it's so important to keep telling this story. You know, you may have noticed that my son has his name on the screen because he directed all the graphics, all those little screens in between the various sequences were done by him. He was involved in what should be left in and what should be taken out, as was my son Jonathan and my wife Kathy as well. But he was very involved in this. And then when he was unexpectedly called to heaven, I thought, can I ever get up and tell this story again? And I thought, well, I need to, because now it's not only the story of my redemption, it's a story of my son's redemption as well. Amen. And it's a story that we all have to say. Jesus never promised us an easy life. He even said, in this world you will have tribulation, but he did promise us that we would never be alone. And he said that when we even walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he would be there with us. And he promised us he would never leave us or forsake us. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't have Christ in my life right now, I don't think I could get through this. But I have a hope. I have a hope of a future reunion in heaven with my grandparents, with my mom, with my dad who adopted me, and with my son who preceded me to heaven. He is with the Lord, which is much better than earth, to say the very least. Much, much better. He just celebrated his first Christmas in heaven. I caught myself thinking, looking around at all the, you know, lights and other things that go with Christmas. I wish Christopher could see this. And then I thought, what am I saying? I wish he could be here watching twinkling lights. He's in God's presence, seeing the radiant glory of God himself. You know, I have a metal angel hanging from a tree. He's looking at the holy angels of God. It's much better. And he's not in heaven because he was my son. He's in heaven because he was God's son. He put his faith in Christ just like I needed to do. See, my life should have been a disaster. I read an article the other day that said, if you've come from a divorced home, the chances are far, far higher that you yourself will end up divorced. And then they did a new study and found that if you come from a home where multiple divorces have taken place, it's very likely that you will end up getting divorced. Well, my wife and I are closing in on our 35th wedding anniversary. So with God, all things are possible. I had a lot of sin in my life, and I came from a home of great dysfunction. And sometimes people use that sort of thing as an excuse for their present behavior. Well, I came from a dysfunctional home, so that's the way that that's why I am the way that I am. Hey, welcome to the club. I came from a dysfunctional home, and now I'm the head of a dysfunctional home. But I don't know what kind of hand you've been dealt in life. I don't know what your background is. I don't know if your parents have divorced or any of those things. But I know when God enters your story, everything can change. Because as we put that verse up there on the screen at the end. If anyone is in Christ, he is an altogether different kind of person. The old things have passed away. Everything becomes fresh and new. God had a plan for my life, even though I was not planned. I was what they call illegitimate, conceived out of wedlock. But you know what? There are no illegitimate children in the eyes of God. He has a plan for all of us. The psalmist said, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And so God had a plan. And as I look back, you know, I'm not angry at my mom. My mom did the best that she knew how to do. And she could have been a better mom. And quite frankly, I could have been a better son. But you know what? I look back on that and I think, she's in heaven because she recommitted her life to the Lord toward the end of it. And God allowed me to go through the things I went through to help me to do what I'm called to do today. So God can bring good out of bad. See, sometimes bad things happen and bad things don't become good. The Bible doesn't promise God will make everything good. The Bible says God will cause all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. Bad is bad, and bad things happen to good people. And I don't know why certain tragedies happen to certain people. I don't know why God would allow a Christian to get cancer or to have a disability or to have a loved one die when they're young. I don't know why these things happen, but I know that God can bring good out of bad. And he can be glorified through it. And sometimes we're not going to get that all figured out till we get to heaven, you know, most of it. But then there are times in life we'll begin to look back and say, okay, I'm starting to see how God could have used that in my life. And I think of the story of Joseph and all the horrible things his brothers did to him. But he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save many people alive." Maybe you're going through a bad time in your life. Maybe you've experienced some horrible things, but God can work if you'll just say, "Lord, help me. I'm looking to you." I want to just spend just the last few moments we have together just looking at a few verses because this is one of the great stories of the New Testament, and it's Luke chapter 15, and it's a story we all know. We usually call it the parable of the prodigal son. But I think it could just as easily be called the parable of the loving father. Because in this story, we get a sense of what God is like. It's a snapshot of God, if you will. And it shows a father who has a son leave him and how much the father cares for his son. And our story begins, we see a boy leaving home. We don't know what the circumstances were that led to this. We know it wasn't an affluent home. It seems to be a relatively happy home. It seems as though affection was openly displayed in this home, judging by the way the father welcomed the son back. But yet one day the boy just said, "I don't want to live here anymore." He was tired of the rules and regulations of living at home. He was tired of his dad and what he had to say and the bright lights of the big city were calling. And the boy wanted to experience everything this world has to offer. The boy probably thought, "What does dad know about this sort of thing? He's so lame. He's so out of it." And so he ran away. And it's a perfect picture of how many of us run away from God. Maybe you've come from a broken home. Maybe your parents were divorced. Maybe you yourself have been divorced, or you feel betrayed and hurt, or you're out on your own trying to find meaning and purpose in your life, and you feel lonely and isolated, or you're looking for someone or something to fill that void in your life. Listen to this story that Jesus told. Luke 15, he says, "A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'I want my share of your estate now instead of waiting for you to die.'" How's that for subtlety? "So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all of his belongings and took a trip to a distant land, and he wasted all of his money on wild living. About this time, the money ran out, and a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve, and he persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the food he was feeding the pigs looked good to him because no one gave him anything." In this story, God is portrayed as a father whose son leaves him. How this must have broken the father's heart. As a father who has lost a son, I have a sense of the pain this dad may have been experiencing. He just wanted to be with his boy. And did you know that God longs for fellowship with you? Not because he needs you, but he does want you. He longs for friendship. He longs for conversation. He longs for communication, for communion. We see this from Genesis to Revelation. God says in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Going clear back to the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned and ate of the forbidden fruit, we hear the voice of the Father crying out, Adam, where are you? Now, was God doing that because he did not know where Adam was? Of course not. God is omniscient, all-knowing. He knew exactly where Adam was. It's like when I play hide and seek with my granddaughter Stella, who's 2 now. She'll say, I'm going to hide from you, Papa. And then she'll hide in plain sight. You know, behind her curtain, I can see her feet. And I'll say, Stella, pretending as though I don't know where she is, where are you? And she's laughing. I'm fooling Papa. Or maybe she's thinking, he's such an idiot. Can't he see me here? I don't know what she's thinking it to. We play this game where I act as though I can't find her, but I know exactly where she is. And then finally she jumps out, here I am, and I hug her, and she goes and hides again in the same place. That's how silly it is when we try to hide from God. Do you think God doesn't see what you're doing? Do you think God doesn't know where you're going? You think he's not aware of what's happening? Of course he is. Why did God cry out, Adam, where are you? Not because he didn't know where he was, but he wanted Adam to fess up, if you will. He wanted Adam to say, here I am, Lord, hiding because I sinned. But of course, we know Adam didn't acknowledge his sin initially. First excuse we find in all of the Bible, it's the woman you gave me. Wasn't my fault. I lay down, I take a nap, I wake up, I'm a rib short, and she's here. Of course, the woman blames it on the serpent, and on the blame shifting goes. But this boy in our story here was running from a father who longed for fellowship with him. And he wasted all of his money on wild living. You know, he went to Vegas because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? He probably, you know, had a cool car and he had all the greatest clothes and all the girls around him and all the drugs or alcohol you could want. But as soon as the money ran out, his friends ran out with it. You want to find out who your real friends are? Totally commit your life to Jesus Christ and you'll find out real fast. You might find out you don't have as many friends as you thought. I heard a story about two guys who were out camping in the forest. They're getting up one morning and they heard a rustling in the bushes and suddenly they both turned and saw a very large bear running at them full speed. One of the friends started to pull on his running shoes. His buddy said, "You don't think you can outrun that bear, do you?" Said, I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you. That's how a lot of friends are. They run out on you. That's how it was for the prodigal. He had no friends left when the money was gone, hanging out with a bunch of pigs, reaping the consequences of his sin. Maybe that's happened to some of you. Maybe you thought, I'm tired of this faith I've been raised in. You know, I went to school here at Calvary Chapel School, or I was raised in the church, or I've heard the gospel from my youth, and I remember Greg when he had hair. Oh, you know, I was raised on Veggie Tales and all this stuff, you know, and oh, I saw some hypocrites in the church. So, oh, stop with that. I'm so tired of hearing that. You saw some hypocrites. Big deal. Do you think that we're all perfect? Would it help if we hung signs around our neck under construction? I've met some hypocrites too. And you know what? I've met a whole lot more people who really love the Lord and live the life. But Jesus didn't say, follow my people. He said, follow me. And a lot of times people will use that hypocrite excuse as just that, an excuse for their sinful behavior. So maybe you said, I don't want this. I don't want to go in this way. I want to live the way that I want to live. Okay, how's it going? Not so good. Yeah, what happened? Well, you've probably reaped what you've sown. You know, you're beginning to see some of the consequences of your decisions that you've made. And that's what was happening to this boy. He was realizing this was the wrong choice. Sin was so promising. It can look so alluring. It's sort of like Krispy Kreme donuts. They were very popular for a while, and now I don't see as many of their stores as there were. I think the most I ate in one sitting was 5. Don't look at me that way. They're good. They were fresh. The fresh glazed ones, you know? And they're a little smaller, too, by the way. Give me a little credit here. Anyway, and they're so good going down. Ah, Krispy Kreme. Little milk. Go, 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 go. 2, 3, 4, 5. And then about 4 minutes later, it's like, I'm not happy right now. I have a big ball of grease in my stomach. That's how sin can be. It looks so promising, so glamorous, so cool. And then, bam, ooh, it hits. Consequences. Results. Wasn't what you were expecting, was it? The boy finally comes to his senses and he says, I had it better back home. So he says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just take me on as a hired servant. And he makes the journey back home again. He realizes that he is simply reaping the consequences of his own actions. There was no one to blame but himself. And he made his way back to his father's house. You know, one of these days, hopefully, if you haven't discovered it yet, you're going to discover this. That everything you need in life is in a relationship with God. There's nothing this world has to offer that's going to fulfill you. There's a lot of promise, but it's going to turn to a ball of greasy dough in your stomach. And worse, as you see why God warns us against these things. So the boy decided to go home. It's not enough to see you need to do it. You need to act on it. So the story picks up. Verse 17, chapter 15. So he returned home to his father. And I love this. While he was still a great distance away, his father saw him coming. And filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him. He kissed him. And his son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father said, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we've been fattening in the pen. Let's celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost and now he is found. And so the party began. Interesting twist on the story. The father runs to the son. Do you know that it was considered inappropriate for an older man to run in this culture? Just wasn't done. Of course, they had those long robes. And to run, you had to pull the robe up above your knees. You girls know what I'm talking about? You girls, rather? And some of you guys who are confused. No, I'm just kidding. But, you had to pull the robe above your knees so you had freedom of movement, right? So older men didn't run. Not to mention, it's harder for older men to run. And I've tried running. I have a lot of friends that run. And they talk to me about these endorphins that get released. Greg, there's like a runner's high, man. And the endorphins are released. I have never met a single endorphin. What is an endorphin? I just feel pain and more pain when I run. But the father, not caring about the rules, willing to lose his dignity, if you will, sprints to get to his son and throw his arms around him. He pulls this beautiful robe up. He goes to his son and he smothers him with kisses. Notice that he didn't stop about 10 feet away and say, boy, where have you been? You smell like a pig. But he threw his arms around him and accepted him as he was. Put a robe on this boy, a ring on his finger. But also notice he didn't leave him the way that he was. They stripped off the old rags and put the new robe on them. You see, God will accept you as you are, but he doesn't want to leave you that way. You see, some people say they're Christians, but they're still trying to live in two worlds. I was doing that for just, a little bit there after I accepted Christ as a young boy, and I went out to do drugs that weekend. But I realized this isn't going to work. This isn't the way that I'm supposed to live. And I realized I couldn't live in two worlds. And one of the reasons I've never wanted to be sort of the compromising Christian is I had enough of the world for my 17 years in it. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. I know it's empty. Plus, I'd seen the way it worked out for my mom in the adult world. So I already knew that's where it was not at. And I thought, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to go for it, as they say in the South, whole hog, and see what God has. I've never regretted that decision. And you won't either. Living in two worlds is the most miserable place to be. It's like the guy who couldn't decide back in the days of the Civil War if he wanted to fight for the North or the South. So he wore the coat of the North and the trousers from the South, and he got shot at from both sides. That's what happens to compromisers. You get shot at from both sides. Make your decision. If you're going to follow the Lord, follow the Lord. Well, that's what this boy did. He came home and his father received him. Maybe you relate to someone in my story. You might be like me. You came from a broken home, never had a dad or a mom, or left to yourself. You've sampled a lot of the things this world has to offer, but you realize that God has a plan for your life and you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and he can fill that void in your life you've tried to fill with all these other things. Or maybe you're more like my mom. Raised in the church, she went to church every Sunday and a midweek Bible study. They had prayer before every meal and Bible readings. But my mom ran away from the church and ran away from her faith and ran from relationship to relationship and to alcohol and all the rest. But thankfully, in the end, she came back to the Lord. Or maybe you relate to my father, Oscar, a moral man, an educated man, intelligent. But yet, he needed Jesus as much as anybody else, and he came to faith later in his life. Or maybe you're young, and you just think, well, you know, I'm young, and I don't really need to think about these things right now. I have my whole life ahead of me, and, you know, I'll do that later. Well, think about my son, Christopher, 33 years old, suddenly called to heaven. The good news is, he was ready. Oh, I wish the Lord had not done this. I wish the Lord had left him. I wish the Lord had taken me instead of him. But he's there in heaven because he put his faith in Christ. You can never think that you have the luxury of time because we don't know how long life will go, friends. We don't know how long we will live. We think we'll all live to be 90 or 100. Some may, but others won't. That's why we need to get right with God right now. And not only that, but of course, Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. We've never been closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we are right now at this moment. Amen. And he could return. And if you're not ready, you would be one of those ones who would be left. So I want to close tonight with a simple invitation to either come to Christ or come back to Christ if you need to. Maybe you're solid in your commitment. You're doing well in your faith. Great. Praise the Lord for that. But maybe there's some of you here that have been putting on kind of an act and everyone thinks you're doing really well spiritually, but you know you're compromising. You know you're doing things you shouldn't do. You know you're trying to live in two worlds. I'm calling you to a real commitment to Christ or a recommitment. There might be some of you that came here tonight that have not heard a lot of these things before. You didn't know God could be known in a personal way. And you're realizing for the first time you could have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And just like Lonnie said when he was preaching on my high school campus, Jesus said, you're for me or against me. You're realizing, well, these Christians here, they're for him. Does that mean I'm against him? Well, you don't have to be. You can come to Christ tonight. And we're going to give you an opportunity in a moment. You need to realize you're a sinner because every one of us have broken God's commandments. Every one of us have fallen short of God's standards, and that's why God loved us so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to walk in this earth and live a perfect life and then die a perfect death and rise again from the dead 3 days later. And that same Jesus who lived and died is standing at the door of your life, and he is knocking, and he's saying, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You need to say, Lord, forgive me. I had to do that. My son had to do that. My mom had to do that. My dad had to do that. And you need to do that. Or maybe you're a backslider. And you, like the prodigal, have run off into this world and you're miserable. And as you sit there tonight, you find that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time for you to come back home. Come back to the Lord. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that right now as we all bow our heads. So would you just pray with me? Everyone praying, please. And Father, I pray for any person here who may not yet know you. Help them to see the words we've shared tonight are true. Help them to see, Lord, they can come into this relationship with you by putting their faith in Jesus, or they can come back to you if they've fallen away. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will bring about in the hearts of those that need to make this decision the conviction of sin and bring them to yourself now. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying, how many of you would say tonight, Greg, pray for me. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want him to forgive me of my sin. I want to know that when I die, I will go to heaven for sure. I want this void of my life filled. Pray for me. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus Christ. If that's your desire, wherever you're sitting, would you lift your hand up and I'll pray for you tonight. Just lift it up where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Over here on the side, the middle, toward the back. God bless you in the very back. God bless you. God bless you. God bless. Now, I can't see you all over there in the gym, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as well. If you need to make this commitment to Christ over there in the gym, just raise your hand up too. And outside to do the same thing. While our heads are still bowed, maybe some of you would say, you know what? You describe me. I'm that compromiser. I'm that backslider. And I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm ready to come back to the Lord and turn from that sin and start really following Christ. Pray for me. I want to come back to Jesus tonight. If that's your desire, I want you to lift up your hand and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless each one of you. Lord, I thank you for each one of these that have taken this little step of faith. Now help them take the next one and follow you and receive all that you have for them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know those whom Jesus calls? He calls openly and publicly. And we're going to do the same thing right now. Just like I had to get up on my little high school campus over there at Harbor High and make a public stand for Christ. I'm going to ask you to do that. In a moment, Hans and Billy are going to lead us in a song of invitation. And I'm going to ask if you raise your hand with me during that last prayer, saying that you wanted to ask Christ to come into your life, or saying you want to come back to the Lord, I'm going to ask when this song begins, you would get up out of your seat, step into the aisle, and walk up your chair to the front. If you're over there in the gym, I'm going to ask you to come over here to the sanctuary. So you better get started. And I'm going to ask the ushers to be nice and open the doors up for them to come in so they can come in here and make that stand for Christ. If you're outside, I want you to come around inside here to the front here of the sanctuary. Why do I ask you to come publicly? Because Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before people, I'll acknowledge you before the Father and the angels in heaven. But he said, if you deny me before people, I'll deny you before the Father and the angels. This is the way to acknowledge him publicly. So if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know, listen to me, if you want to know you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want the void in your life filled, your guilt taken away, if you want to know that your life is right with God, you'll be ready for his return, or you want to come back to Christ tonight, as these guys sing, you get up, step into the nearest aisle, walk down here to the front, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer when you get here. Get up and start coming right now. Come on.